Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us as he does every Friday, or almost every Friday, for 11 years now, Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, current at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow him on Facebook, watch a movie, and talk about it. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Wait, are you serious? 11 years?
Yeah. You are my oldest, most regular guest, and we started somewhere around this time in 2014.
Wow, that's you just blew me away. I'm shocked by that.
That means that you and I are probably in the vicinity of 500 interviews.
That's insane.
Or if you want to do the math of it, 500 times, you know, say 6 minutes. How many hours of your life have you spent with me?
What is the definition? Is the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and expecting different results?
Wait, why do you want different results? These are good results. All right. Anyway,
that's fine.
it's pure sanity to do the same thing expecting the same good results. The Naked Gun, with Liam Neeson as the comic character. Do I have this right?
Yeah, speaking of the definition of insanity.
I was
very iffy on this because, well, first of all, the idea of Liam Neeson in the lead in this makes some sense if you actually know anything about Leslie Nielsen's career beyond Airplane and Naked Gun.
Okay.
Because Leslie Nielsen was a very serious actor. You know, he started in Forbidden Planet and was, you know, played a lot of, you know, cops and things like that, you know, very straight-laced roles. And it wasn't until the reason they cast him in Alien, same reason they cast Peter Graves and Lloyd Bridges and, you know, all of these, you know, guys that were these tough guy, you know, actors, Robert Stack, et cetera, et cetera. And if you've seen Airplane, if you remember, they played it completely straight. They played it like they would play any other role.
Right,
The humor was everything that was going on around them. That's what made Leslie Nielsen so great as Frank Drebin at first. He started getting hammy towards the end there, but that's what the core of the joke was. So casting Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr., which is the case here, this is not a reboot, this is a legacy sequel, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
He's playing the son of Frank Drebin. It makes a lot of sense because Liam Neeson is known for these tough guy action roles, and he plays it exactly right. He treats it very straight. He's not mugging at the camera or anything like that. It could be any other Liam Neeson role if it weren't for all the crazy things going on around him.
Got it.
You know, the sight gags or the inherent kind of dumbness of the character. They have a lot of fun with that. And I was not expecting to like this movie. I didn't think the idea of coming back to this was a good idea. I should have had more faith because this is Akiva Schaffer who has written and directed this movie. Akiva Schaffer is part of The Lonely Island along with Andy Samberg and Jorma Taccone. They were responsible for all those great SNL digital shorts. And then he's gone on to direct a few movies, including another movie that was way better than it had any right to be, the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie that they did on Disney Plus a couple of years ago, which actually won the Emmy for Best Television Film that year.
Okay.
Also really good. This is really funny, and if you like those original movies, I think you're going to like this a lot.
Okay.
Jamie Anderson is a love interest in this. There's some nice subtle throwbacks to the original film. Some things that were traditions from the original films that continue. A few little, you know.
I mean, I love the original. Yeah, obviously, it's a classic. I think they missed an opportunity to have Liam Neeson using an alias as Liam Nielsen, but you know, whatever, things go by. Sometimes they miss an opportunity. What's the other one is Together This Week?
Yeah. So, there's some controversy about this film. This is, starring Allison Brie and Dave Franco, who are in real life, a married couple. and who are not just the stars in this movie, but they're the producers. They're kind of behind this film. It's a film about a married couple who, you know, those couples that are so codependent on each other that they start to seem to like morph into one organism. imagine that as a horror film. So that's kind of what's happening here. They start to like be so drawn together that they start to be drawn into one being, basically.
Okay.
The reason there's a controversy about this is because there is a screenwriter who is alleging that this idea was stolen from them, that this idea was actually pitched to them and they passed on it.
Then they took it away from them. Okay. Is it good?
I mean, but that being said, apparently a very good movie. The reviews are very good, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Reviews very good on Naked Gun, too, by the way, I should mention.
Excellent.
It's not just me that thinks it's good. The critics actually like it, too.
What are you going to watch next week?
A movie called Weapons, which has a lot of interesting hype about it, about a disappearance of children that happens at 2:17 p.m. Interestingly enough, they're going to do the first screenings of the film at 2:17 p.m.
Oh, clever. So I like that. That's a good time.
That's kind of a fun little verisimilitude. But that's most likely what we'll be seeing. But check us out on Facebook and double check to be sure.
You bet. 6 o'clock tomorrow. Let's go Pensacola here on News Radio. Or as he said on Facebook, follow the Pensacola Movie Club. Julio Diaz, after more than 500 interviews, it's nice to know that you're still my friend. I appreciate you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Reviewing all of his life decisions eagerly. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives, John.
Me too. All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 7th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 15th, in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
You will hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Gulfwinds Credit Union is matching donations up to $20,000.
This year, help us raise funds for supporting our childhood cancer patients with a lit laser.
Special thank you to our champion sponsors, including Walmart and Sam's Club.
Thank you.
And our hope sponsors, Belcor Commercial, LLC, and Penair Credit Union. You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for American Eagle Outfitters and their hottie with the body, Sydney Sweeney, the Nazi poster girl for eugenics, the apostle of Aryanism, the 21st century Eva Braun. Yes, this week, American Eagle released a series of ads parading the sultry, blonde-haired, blue-eyed sexpot around in loose-fitting blue jeans and making a pun on the homophonic relationship between the jeans she is wearing and the jeans she inherited.
Jeans are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My jeans are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has great jeans.
I just don't even know where to begin. But luckily for me, I don't have to figure it out. The Interim Council of Holy and Anointed Influencers of Wokeness has already paved the way on TikTok with their ex-cathedra pronouncements on this travesty.
Those Sydney Sweeney American Eagle ads are weird. Like, fascist weird. Like, Nazi propaganda weird.
Sydney Sweeney's jeans ad is giving ethnic steak propaganda. It is giving dystopian. It is giving 1940s Germany.
That's Nazi propaganda. Wow.
And as one of our greatest and most eloquent TikTok heroines so poignantly put it,
this is Nazi sh- pure Nazi sh- saying that a blonde hair, blue eyed girl has good genes is Nazi.
Nazi bleep indeed. We could not agree more. And the best part of these devout commentators is the way they really live out their convictions so utterly and ostentatiously, rejecting all traditional female beauty norms in their own body shape, attire, and nose piercings. These, let's say, ladies are definitely living their most non-Sydney Sweeney lives. You see, this ad isn't just an assault on the Jews and people of color and women with alternate beauty styles. This is an assault on the very idea of total and complete equality that we stand for. Our strain of 16th wave feminism has been very successful at getting lingerie companies and fashion magazines and even modeling agencies to pretend that female beauty is a completely artificial construct of the patriarchy and that all bodies, all faces, all hairstyles, and all clothes are equally attractive to men. You see, the basic problem with female beauty is that it's so painfully unfair. Of course, we recognize that some women are born with more desirable features based on genetics, but don't you see that our goal should be to treat every single woman as equal with every other woman so that all women everywhere can stand together in the absolute equality of mediocre appearance? But every time we try to promote that, some ridiculously hot girl comes along to remind everyone else just how much less hot they all are. And all just because she was luckier in having more attractive parents than other women. It's so unfair. So if we can't redistribute beauty the way we can redistribute wealth, the next best thing is to pretend it doesn't exist. And that's why these ads are so horrendous, because they force us to admit that some women have sexier genes than others. And American Eagle and Sydney Sweeney don't even have the decency to be ashamed of it, but instead are celebrating it. Can you imagine celebrating heteronormative sexual appeal? It's disgusting. And yes, although we know it's not really the same as advocating for the, say, extermination of the Jews or proposing the Nazi-esque state-sponsored genetic purification programs, we have to say something. As the eighth rule of wokeism reminds us, when you don't have persuasive arguments, escalate the rhetoric by using such outrageous terms that nobody will dare question the truth of your claims. So if AEO wants to redeem themselves, they must first apologize, then fire Sydney Sweeney, then produce a series of ads featuring plus-size women, women of color, women with tangled and poorly kempt hair, women with bad teeth, women with pierced septums and forehead tattoos, and of course, an appropriate smattering of transgender women in a series of ads talking about how amazing everyone's genes are. This might just maybe be enough to make up for the wickedness of featuring a hot young blonde that men everywhere inexplicably find desirable. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, President Whatever and his EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, who this week announced the intended repeal of the endangerment finding, the scientific ruling by the Environmental Protection Agency that declared greenhouse gases such as methane, nitrous oxide, hydrofluorocarbons, water vapor, and crucially carbon dioxide, are a threat to public health and must be regulated under the Clean Air Act. This has been the basis of every modern effort to stave off the climate apocalypse caused by the internal combustion engine and the internal digestion mammal. That's right, cars, cows, pigs, humans, refrigerators, forest fires, and power plants are killing us all, which we know, and the EPA regulates tailpipe emissions, fuel economy standards, refrigerant replenishment, and so many other activities on the basis of this one linchpin rule, the endangerment finding. So if that goes away, despite all our best efforts to convince the world that we humans are killing the planet, the EPA and Lee Zeldin will simply undo decades of improvements in energy and technology. If carbon dioxide and methane are no longer classified as air pollution, then how will we teach people that making more humans is wrong, that breathing is wrong, that farting and belching are wrong, that literally everything we do to make life and light and heat and technology and civilization is based on something fundamentally wicked, carbon dioxide pollution? So this is very important. We must continue to portray Zeldin, President Nuh-uh, and anyone who doesn't embrace our man-made carbon pollution causes global climate change dogma as being anti-science, anti-reason, and essentially subhuman. We must keep referring to them as climate deniers and science skeptics. And yes, as part of our grand cultural cognitive dissonance, we must keep reminding everyone that some scientists who stand up for an unpopular theory that eventually turns out to be true are heroes, such as Copernicus, Aristarchus, Galileo, Kepler, Avogadro, Semmelweis, Mendel, and Einstein. And we must say that this is at the same time as we brand climate deniers heretics who refuse to bow their knees to the holy and infallible will of the scientific consensus as of August 1, 2025. Even though the scientists of their day rejected a heliocentric universe, elliptical planetary orbits, genetic inheritance, hand washing as a way to prevent disease, the theory of relativity, the gas particle constant, and so many other ideas that turned out to be true, we know the scientific community of today would never, ever, ever be capable of making the exact same error that every other scientific community throughout history has made by trying to suppress novel ideas they disagree with. In other words, we must pretend to champion the strident individuals of the past who stood up and challenged the prevailing view of things at the same time as we do everything we can to bully, deplatform, ridicule, and defund anyone today who stands up and challenges the prevailing view of right now. So once again, we are called upon to defend the truth that burning, breathing, and farting are destroying the planet and must squelch all who deny these basic truths, especially those unparalleled devils Lee Zeldin and President Hates the Planet. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a solid braided hemp acoustic guitar with inlaid incense holders for the British Board of Film Classification and its relatively recent decision to reclassify the hybrid animated live-action Disney musical Mary Poppins. Now, it's true, for many, many years, Mary Poppins has held a place of prestige in our order for all the wonderfully progressive theories that it conveys. It is decidedly anti-capitalistic, even overtly anti-banking, since the bankers of the film are the most wicked men in the movie. It fosters respect for the poor and encourages charity toward them in the whole tuppence bag sequence. There's a strong element of admiration for the working poor, as represented by Bert and the Chimney Sweeps, and of course, the themes of child wisdom over against parental authority are near and dear to our deeply subversive hearts. Also, we love the feminist independence of Mary Poppins, who rejects the romantic appeal of Bert and simply travels off to another family to teach them about the inherent superiority of women and children. But even all of these wonderful merits are not enough to save this fatally flawed film. As the BBFC noted when it recently reclassified it from U for Universal, like our G rating, to a PG for parental guidance, Mary Poppins is guilty of using a blatantly offensive racial slur.
Baby, you take my Hottentots!
Aye, aye, sir.
Cheesy devils! Give them what for! Empty those shotguns!
In this now infamous scene where Admiral Boom spies an army of dancing chimney sweeps across the rooftops, he refers to the soot-covered dancers as Hottentots. Now, forgive me while I actually say the offending word. I do this for illustration only and take no pleasure in uttering something so awful. Yes, Hottentots was a word used by Dutch settlers in South Africa to refer to the native blacks because it imitated their own language. It eventually became a slur against all black-skinned people, and not only does Admiral say it twice, but as the BBFC chief executive David Austin notes, the two uses of the discriminatory term are neither criticized nor condemned, increasing the risk that very young viewers might repeat it without realizing the potential for offense. Keep in mind that in this scene, once the Admiral misidentifies the black-faced soot-covered chimney sweeps as native South Africans, he thinks it appropriate to launch a series of pyrotechnics at them, an event which the audience is invited to laugh at while the so-called crazy devils scatter, dive, and dodge to avoid the rockets. Disgusting. Now, someone may object that nobody uses that term any longer, and few people even know what it means. Have you learned nothing from my years of teaching? Canceling words, books, movies, and people is not about whether anyone knows what they're saying or intentionally offends or even whether anyone in reality is actually offended. The goal is to control people by limiting their words and making them afraid to say anything other than what we say is acceptable. Therefore, the innocuous use of archaic and outdated terms that actually offend nobody today is a perfectly ripe opportunity for cancellation. No, dear Otherin. A slur is a slur no matter how small. We must not allow the racism of Mary Poppins to simply whistle while it slurs. It's no jolly holiday when people are practicing racial oppression. We absolutely must not allow unsuspecting children to step in time to this white supremacy culture. And if I may be so bold to say it, even a spoonful of sugar can't make this bigotry go down. So let's tell the supporters of Mary Poppins to go fly a kite so we can progress toward the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious future of human equality that we all chim-chimini-chim-chim-chiri-fuse not to bring to fruition. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Oh, we missed the best opportunity. What are Sydney Sweeney's initials? Oh, no. That's more evidence than ever before. John Pickens has traffic for you, John.
Wow. I'm still trying to get over your whistling. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I have to be proud of you. All right, so we've got an accident, Old Coryfield Road and Lillian Highway. No road blockage associated with this one, just some minor delays on Lillian Highway. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East has arrived in Gaza. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff was in Israel yesterday meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He was seen arriving in Gaza earlier today. And President Trump has signed an executive order increasing tariffs on exports from 70 countries worldwide. The order says the new rates will kick in next week in trade deals with the European Union, UK, Japan, South Korea, and other countries.
I almost feel guilty that I didn't catch the SS initials thing. Feels like that's the evidence that pushes us right over the top or the ledge.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump's tariff deadline is here. His administration slapping dozens of countries with fresh import taxes. Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House.
Countries that were not making specific new deals for themselves with the U.S. were just told what their new rates are going to be. Mostly 15% to 20%, with some much higher. The highest in the world now, Syria, 41%.
The new rates will take effect in 7 days. A manhunt underway in Tennessee for a quadruple killer. Austin Drummond is accused of murdering 4 family members and abandoning a baby in what investigators say was a random yard.
It was a targeted attack. We don't think that there's a need for the community to be concerned as far as it being some type of random act or anything like that.
Tennessee District Attorney Danny Goodman Jr., $15,000 reward is being offered. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 85 right now. We've got cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. Negotiations to acquire the old Escambia County Medical Center Clinic on North Palafox are now on hold. The property owners have reportedly rescinded their signed agreement with the city of Pensacola. The city, of course, had intended to use that site for community development projects, including the Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Project. The city requested 2 things: the ability to conduct an environmental review and access to the building before it went before the city council. Code enforcement fines on that property now continue accumulating. One of the men convicted in the murder of former football standout Ladarius Clardy in 2021 will get a new trial after the court found his Miranda rights were violated. The court ruled 25-year-old Dekavion Snowden had invoked his right to an attorney multiple times. This was during a lengthy interrogation. Investigators, though, continued questioning him without legal counsel being present. Snowden's conviction resulted in a life sentence, and it's now been overturned. The legal process will begin fresh. A date for a new trial has not been set. A Pensacola man is facing charges for the sexual abuse of a child over the last 5 years. 33-year-old Joseph Chase was arrested this week. Prosecutors say the abuse began in 2020 when the victim was 6 years old. A report shows that Chase is not a member of the family, but had lived with them since he was a teenager and often watched that child while the parents were not home. The report showed Chase had been named in multiple other child sexual abuse cases in the past, but had never been previously arrested. The Florida Department of Health Santa Rosa has lifted a health advisory issued for Navarre Beach. Recent tests indicated water quality at beach public accesses 37A, that's on the west end of the beach before the seashore, and 40B towards the east end of the beach close to the pier, had an acceptable level of bacteria established by state guidelines. Now, the launch of NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 was delayed yesterday. The space agency says they had to cancel it due to bad weather. The launch of Crew 11, though, is tentatively rescheduled for this morning at 10:43 a.m. at NASA's Kennedy Space Center. The crew is preparing for a 6-month mission aboard the International Space Station, where they'll conduct research, maintenance, and other related projects. An Okaloosa County man that killed his family is dead. The state of Florida executed Edward Zakrewski yesterday at the Florida State Prison. He died by lethal injection at 6:12 p.m. Zakrewski confessed to killing his wife and his two kids in 1994 at their home in Mary Esther. He was reportedly upset that she was going to divorce him and take the kids to her home country of South Korea. Zakrewski was a tech sergeant at Eglin Air Force Base at the time. Today is Hulk Hogan Day in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis officially announcing that yesterday. He said the state is paying tribute to the former pro wrestler. Flags will be at half staff. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Just one accident to let you know about. Old Coryfield Road and Lillian Highway. Not seeing any road blockage associated with this. It's moved onto the side of the road. I just wanted you to know about that. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a chance of rain today. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with a high near 93. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Saturday, 60% chance of rain, high near 92. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Going into Sunday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 92 and a low near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 85 right now. The heat index bringing the temperature, feels like temperature, up to 101 degrees. And your money now this morning. Markets are down at the opening bell thanks to a weak jobs report. The Dow is down about 500 points at 43,634. S&P down 79 points, 62,60. NASDAQ down 341 points at 2781. Taking a look at our 10-year bond rate, down just over a tenth at 4.245%. Gold prices are down, are up 55.20 this morning, 34.03.80. Silver up 45 cents at 37.16. And crypto is down. Bitcoin's down over 1,500 at 115,478. Ethereum's down just under 100 at 36,49. Solana's down $7. Dogecoin is down by about a half a cent. XRP down by 6 cents. The unemployment rate went up in June, a tenth of a percent to 4.2%, according to numbers released this morning. Unemployment grew by 221,000, while the labor force shrank by about 40,000. Around 73,000 jobs were added to non-farm payrolls, below the market expectations of 100,000. Apple says it shipped its 3 billionth iPhone. CEO Tim Cook made that announcement yesterday in their earnings call. Sales of iPhones have been on an upward trend since Apple introduced its first device in 2007. By 2016, it sold 1 billion. By 2021, 2 billion. Took 4 more years to hit 3. Ford posting its first quarterly loss in 2 years after being hit with $800 million in tariff costs. The carmaker reported over $50 billion in revenue for the second quarter, but reported a loss of $36 million in its net income. Ford lost nearly $600 million due to a recall, and its Model E electric vehicle lost over $1 billion in the quarter. 8:38, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, this You guys have become really, really gifted at sending me material through, via the text that I like can't use because it's from the prior segment, but it's funny to follow up with. So we're talking about Sydney Sweeney. She was made in The Transgressors and all that. And then somebody texted me and made the observation that, what are her initials? SS? And then somebody else, when I mentioned that in the air, texted and said, SS, I did not see that coming. Oh, we have a lot of dads listen. All right, so we got Walker Wilson here in studio with us for the wrap, and Craig Hinesman, both multiple repeat offenders. In fact, I was just looking. Let me real quick check my numbers on this. It is Walker's 11th and Craig's 20th time on the show. So outstanding contributions. Not quite Julio Diaz yet.
Yeah, my name is Craig Hinesman, and my jeans are Sam's Club.
Nice. Are they blue jeans or are they black jeans or are they trans jeans?
Never black jeans. Who wears black jeans?
I mean, why do you have to discriminate? Do you wear white jeans? Why
not? I do not wear white jeans.
Let's just move on. Okay, so, there's so much going on. One of the things I wanted to ask you guys about, since you're both Escambia County residents, school board yesterday votes to raise the millage to make it the same as almost every other district in the state, to make it what it once was 5 years ago. Because they say they're facing budgetary catastrophe. Vote was 4-1. Kevin Adams voted against. The other four voted for, meanwhile protesting that there really are serious, true conservatives, but they just feel like this tax increase is right. We are one of the lowest taxed school districts in the state. This puts us more on par with other school districts. I just can't stand property taxes in general. So I'm torn on this. I'd probably vote against it because I hate property taxes, but I can see it. Thoughts, Walker?
Yeah, I think they certainly are in a bind. I mean, you see the enrollment going down, and I've been talking about this for a while. We have a middle school issue, and we've had it for
a
long time.
Much so.
And the superintendent alluded to that, that, you know, kids, we've got elementary schools that parents like to send their children to. We've got some high schools that parents are willing to opt into. But when it comes to middle school, that's where the biggest issue is, and so you see
that's where they lose them, right?
Well, that's what
they graduate
that was
sixth
true
grade
for
and
our
then they
family.
go to private school.
That was true for our family, for our daughter.
EDS is,
we sent our daughter to private school from sixth through eighth grade, and then back into public school in ninth grade.
So the quality of middle school gap, if they don't make Brown Barge, or even if they do,
Brown Barge was our son made Brown Barge, so we were like, okay, you can stay.
Yeah.
But he was also a different kid. But you're absolutely correct. I think we have to raise more money. I'm with you. I don't like property taxes as a general rule. I think actually our governor explained it quite well. I mean, once you've bought something, it should be yours. So if you've paid off your mortgage, there's no reason you should.
Why do I have to keep renting my house?
But at the same time, we have to have more money for these schools. And we have to manage that money well. Very important. I don't think anyone is necessarily for a tax increase, but at some point in time you have to go look at the reality and go, yeah, we need to catch up, because if you want good schools, there's got to be something there to make them better.
And my criticism, you know, Paul Fetsko said, people say cut the fat, there's no fat to cut. And I think, well, you're down 10% enrollment, there must be. I mean, you can't shrink your customer base by 10% and just keep the same buses, teachers, schools, and expand. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me as a business proposition. So it looks to me like they just have refused to right size or quality size, you know, to accommodate the changes in population.
I will say, if you've ever talked to the transportation department, that is a holy cow. They do with our bus systems.
No, right? I agree.
There is no fat to cut there at all, because they are doing, you know, three routes per bus driver in the morning, and then they're doing the same thing at night. It is a crazy mixed up system that they do.
Yeah, and they say they're actually adequate on buses right now, and they're adequate on teachers this year for the first time in 10 years. They said that.
Yeah, it might be because there's 10% less students.
Could be.
But
I didn't say it. Sure. Fair enough.
Anyways, my mom says just think for a second sometimes. So, anyways. But I think, you know, I figured this would pass. I mean, I don't think that the superintendent's going to put this on the agenda, not knowing that he doesn't have the votes for it. So I was pretty confident that it was going to go ahead and pass. I was probably a heavy lift for him to get three votes on that. We got four. I think at the end of the day, it's a good thing. And, you know, we'll see what the outcome is. You know, I don't know if I would have pulled the trigger or not and, you know, voting for a property tax increase. But I think they're kind of in a bind, and it's, right. You know, you don't want to wait until you get to this point to then have to vote for something that you may not believe in one way or the other.
And pretty dramatic changes. Yeah. I mean, you know, losing money here, losing money there, threats of property taxes entirely going away, at least for homestead properties. I mean, all that's on the horizon, mm-hmm. you know, and that's all true. I thought the Santa Rosa story was really fascinating with the MSTU that the county puts in place for two mills, and it's no change in taxes. It's just kind of a shift in category. And then all of a sudden, oh, guess what? Gulf Breeze and Milton, Gulf Breeze opts entirely out, and Milton opts half out. They're going to half raise their own taxes. And, I mean, so from the county's point of view, they're just out the money, but the city's going to get half of it. It's like $5 million, I think, altogether, something like that, that the county's out because the cities didn't opt in.
Right.
That maybe didn't turn out to be the best choice. Am I... I mean, I want to talk to Brad Baker. I want to pick his brain a little bit on this.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I'm so bad at following what's going on across that long 3 mile bridge. So they're going to be running their own fire there in the city of Gulf Breeze and Navarre.
For the sheriff. Yeah, it's for the sheriff. Yeah, because they have Gulf Breeze Police and Milton Police.
Right.
I was it surprised me because all of a sudden now they're not paying for the sheriff anymore, basically, is the kind of theoretically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yet the sheriff's still going to be doing work in that area. So that's if you've ever lived or worked in that community, you understand. You're like, that makes perfect sense. Because it is such a distinct pocket of community, and they really feel like they are apart from mm-hmm. any other people. That's, you know, there's another story coming out of Gulf Breeze this week. That's and it's a different world living there, working there,
than in Escambia for sure.
Than in Escambia County, than in Milton. But again, when you look, you have, you know, the very popular Days of Our Milton segment, and
you know, never a lack of material. That's a sad thing.
You know, a half decision to is probably what we'd have expected out of that. So.
So we got Craig Hinesman and Walker Wilson here in studio with me for The Wrap. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly along with Highway 29, 90, and 98. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, before we get too far afield from it, either of you have any input on the Sidney Sweeney ad fiasco? I mean, I don't think it's a fiasco. I think it's the best marketing campaign ever. Yeah. And the pushback made it the campaign.
I immediately thought of Paris Hilton and the Carl's Jr. Burger commercial. Gosh, from like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
Was it, what's
it's
her
the
name?
Same deal.
The singer, Jessica Simpson, didn't
yes,
she do one?
Yes, she did one too, right?
Maybe it was just,
anyway.
Brooke Shields,
it's the same
Cindy
exact
Crawford.
And
give
people
it,
got
give it
upset
pushback
about
and it just
it
blows
then,
up.
And yeah, it's like, you know, how many people are going to want some Abercrombie jeans for Christmas this year? A lot, probably.
Well, it's funny is now it used to be the religious right.
Uh-huh.
My peeps. That would have been the one speaking out against it. And
right.
It's completely the opposite. Flip the switch. Man.
Now it's the hyper anti-religious left that's every bit as religious as as Pharisaical as we ever were.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and it's just you look at it and go, yeah, this is not going to work for you guys. Go ahead. I am sure that it's American Eagle. Go ahead. Pop your videos out there, show the world, and keep driving traffic. That's great.
And Duncan has now added one. They've got a model guy, you know, who comes out and says, you know, why am I so tan? It's because I have good genes, and this is the drink I drink. That's a better barometer of the culture than anything that they feel we can just pile on.
Yeah,
we can make fun of these people and just pile on because it's amazing. Let's see, what else do we have going on? You guys, you're on the planning board.
Yes,
Walker?
For the county, yeah.
You guys are working on a new CRA in Myrtle Grove?
Yeah, that's something Commissioner Kohler has been doing, and so we've got it coming to the planning board on Tuesday to essentially kind of approve or recommend approval for the Myrtle Grove CRA district, and then it'll go to them, and it'll essentially solidify the Myrtle Grove CRA and set the base year of whatever the taxable property value is in that area now, and then next year in 2026 will be the first payment into that CRA from the county. And so it's like on the east side is New Warrington Road at the interchange there. North side is West Fairfield. And on the south side of it's West Jackson.
Okay.
So
it's a great, and
that's an important area.
If you've ever driven
revitalization,
over there, it's shocking how undeveloped or you know, derelict it is in at one of the bigger naval bases, right? The entrance of one of the bigger naval bases of,
and you ride through there, America. And you feel like, man, this is a whole different area.
Exactly,
it really is.
Where
exactly.
I had been elsewhere. What has the Jackson Street rebuild, remodel? Has that, I feel really dumb, happened? Coming? You know, they were going to widen and sidewalk and everything, because that road is a very dangerous stretch to ride on your bike.
Sure. I know there's been a lot of conversation about that for several years.
I thought it was in the funding design phase, but maybe I misremember.
Yeah,
so.
I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know.
Oh, and by the way, for people who may not know, to paraphrase Michelle Salzman, what the Florida is a CRA.
Right, yeah.
Because people don't know. CRA
is hard to explain, especially on the radio. But
let's do math and you know, municipal boundaries for tax zones.
Right. So I had the county staff pull the numbers. And so what will happen is there's about $300-something million worth of taxable value in there. So everybody will pay their property tax bill. Anything that's over that, so let's say it's $300 million in value this year, all that tax that you pay will go straight to the county general fund. Anything that's taxed over that next year, so say it's $350 million, you take that difference, which would be $50 million.
It's called a tax increment.
Increment, right. So it's increased $50 million in value. 75% of that $50 million will go into the County Myrtle Grove CRA that has to be spent there, which is going to be roughly around $130,000-$140,000. And then as that value grows over time, more money will stay in that community.
Investment to develop, and then as property values go up because you've developed, it kind of snowballs on itself, or at least that's the theory.
The theory. Right.
And then we can fight about whether the Children's Trust gets it or not. So.
Right. And you look at, which they,
sorry.
You know, I've always been a proponent. I think the Children's Trust should have been exempt from the first place.
Agreed.
And it's gotten, anyways, we'll just leave it at that.
Other topics. I'm sorry, Craig, did you want to weigh in on that at all?
I'm good.
Other stuff. So Manny Diaz, new interim president at UWF, seems like a good guy. Interviewed him once, talked to him off the air once. So it seemed like a pretty straightforward guy, sharp guy. His first sort of noteworthy act as interim president is he fired the attorney. Well, he hired an assistant, who I really like this guy, Craig, what's his name? I can't remember now. Anyway, but the new guy that got hired, amazing resume, fascinating guy.
Right, yeah.
Susan Wolf, because she apparently disagreed with the board chair, Rebecca Matthews, and I'm guessing legally Susan was probably right and Rebecca was wrong. I don't know, but it seems from what I've read that Susan was on the right path, but you can be right and you can be out of job, or you can, you know, do what you're told. It sounds like she didn't do what she was told, and Manny said goodbye. And the press release that I got from them was very boilerplate. I decided to get rid of her, and we did. Thoughts? Concerns?
It's just more fuel on the fire of a whole kind of change at the university that's under a microscope right now. And so, who knows what exactly the details were. And I think Susan, I worked with her briefly when she was still at the city of Pensacola. And she does a good job. And, if she was sticking with her guns, then she stuck with her guns. And
I've always found her to be very capable, competent, personable, sweetheart. I mean, very nice lady. And, but at the same time, administrators have the ability to shape their staff or their people.
They do.
The mayor has lost staff and gotten rid of staff, and you defer to their judgment on these things, right?
The mayor recently. So it's one of those things.
Meredith Reeves just left. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so you have to understand, you're coming into a scenario where it's already contentious. And it was contentious for a good reason. I'm not saying it wasn't. I was in support and had, I think some of the moves that were made were dumb. Now, here we are, though. We're here. And you're right. Manny Diaz is perfectly capable. I have a number of people that know him personally and say, man, I'm telling you right now, if he is given a shot, he is going to kill it. Cool.
Let's hope so.
Absolutely. All of us want UWF to succeed. We all do. But there is always going to be some collateral damage in something of that nature, especially in when it was highly contentious moving in. You've got people that were against any and all change. Maybe rightly so. But now here we are. If you're going to encounter stiff resistance and I'm the guy that needs to move this forward and I can just get rid of the resistance versus try to push through it, that's what you do. To get the job done. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong.
Craig the dictator speaks. All right.
I'm saying that's the reality of how it works.
Yeah,
and,
I understand
and,
that.
Sometimes you can work with folks and it's great, and other times you can't.
Another piece of good news we got just this week is that, in fact, it was yesterday, they signed the deal with the Navy. You're finally, Paradise Beach is finally going to get a fire station again. Man, the Navy just moves at, you know, glacier speed sometimes. And, you know, that's a concern all on its own. But that it finally happened. I mean, after all right. the years of pushing, they're finally, can you imagine they haven't had a fire station for all those years and their ISO rating and their insurance has been insane? So this is a genuinely good news note to follow up on some genuinely bad facts for a long time, right?
Right, yeah, it's exciting. I think just all of the, you know, what am I trying to say? The focus on public safety has been huge, and we've seen that with wins from the county. And I think, you know, I ran against Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner Hoffberger, and that was one of her biggest focuses, and that I think at the end of the day carried her into victory. And she certainly has put a big focus on that. I know that Commissioner Kohler has as well, and so we're seeing that pay off. And at the end of the day, I think that's a good thing for the community.
Yeah, I thought it was actually really smart of her to offer basically to every other commissioner a fire station in their district when she came out with her plan. You know, I'm like, that's smart, you know? Improve public safety by making other commissioners look good. I mean, that's good.
Yeah, politics 101. But what's interesting is the trickle-down effect that you don't really think about from if you don't live in the community. Like, knowing that the insurance rates are ridiculously high and all these things – I had no idea.
And
I mean,
how
it makes
would
sense.
You know that if you're shopping for a house? I mean, it's almost unrealistic to expect anybody to figure that out, right?
You kind of just expect. Well, there's fire. I mean,
you're gonna get your house insured, right?
And so having a solution now for those problems is amazing.
No, it's fantastic.
And I'll say as well, touching on the Myrtle Grove CRA, is that
can you hang on for just a second? Let's get a traffic report from John first.
No accidents to report to you right now. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
See, painless. All right. Walker.
But just saying that, you know, looking at public safety and fire stations, is that's one of Commissioner Kohler's goals with this Myrtle Grove CRA is to create funding to put a fire station in that neighborhood as well. Yep. So good stuff
that makes
all around.
Perfect sense. The presidential fitness test.
I'm so excited. I'm excited for anything from the 80s rolling back in. I'm good. Let's go.
I feel like we need to bring, you know, we brought back Top Gun. You know, if we can bring back Rocky and the Karate Kid and the kids from Wolverines.
Oh, I mean, that seems,
well, that's happened
that's,
already,
that's,
right?
That's right. That's, it has.
And the first season was good.
Naked Gun. Naked Gun's back.
Naked Gun is back.
I made my son watch the first Naked Gun yesterday.
Good parenting.
Yeah.
So.
Like, this is so dumb. I said, yes, it is.
Meanwhile.
Yes, it is.
I didn't even know we weren't doing this anymore. I mean, how do you not have a fitness test in the schools? I mean, we all did it. We all hated it, or at least tried to do it when you're so young.
Yeah,
this was an Obama era drop, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not fair to compare kids against each other with metrics and numbers.
Maybe I did if it got dropped.
That was part of it.
Oh, was it? Oh, my God.
It's not really the best way to tailor an individual child's body shape to their height or to their health or whatever. I mean, all this stuff. Yeah, they got rid of it, and now he's bringing it back, and so people are going to be doing shuttle runs, I guess, and, you know,
jump
push-ups and
jump
rope.
Remember Heart? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Just climb the rope in school?
Never
had to
that.
Climb the rope.
Never could do that.
I was like, always thought that
well,
sounds
tall
like
guys.
A worst nightmare.
I could never do it either.
Right, yeah.
So are you, I mean, you favor this? This makes sense to me. Having some, we got to do something.
Yeah.
The kids on their smartphones aren't getting fitter.
Right.
Right?
I completely agree.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem.
I think that what you're going to find is a lot of kids, today's generation can't pass what we would consider a basic fitness test now.
Well, look at the military having to relax standards or do remedial physical fitness in order to get people in as recruits. I mean, it's a story across the board for our for our culture, right?
It's pretty insane. But that's again goes back to the smartphone issue and of being connected at all times and not really doing stuff versus I'm going to come home and I'm just going to chill on the game station or the whatever. And we saw that starting in our generation.
Yeah.
But it's really accelerated now.
It's weird to think because, I mean, at least, I don't know. I'm older than you are, Craig, and Craig's older than Walker. But I grew up watching TV and playing video games, and I still got plenty of physical activity in. Not so these days.
Right. Well, it used to be – I saw a fascinating podcast or something on this, but it used to be that video games had a game over. You know, you stopped, that's true. And the game turned, the game said game over, and you're like, I'm going to go outside.
And then there was Zelda,
they
but anyway,
don't
yes.
Anymore. So now when you die, you respawn to basically the same spot that you were, so you can just continue going and going. It's the same thing with Facebook. As you scroll Facebook, it used to have an end of your feed. Well, now it doesn't have an end of the feed, it just keeps going. So you can just stay. They're meant to be, to keep you in that spot doing that thing.
Well, when it used to be you paid a quarter to keep playing.
Oh,
and,
gosh,
and,
yes.
And now, because it's free, you don't pay. Well, you pay with your time and your eyeballs and
absolutely.
The advertisers and all of that. And so the goal is they want you doom playing. They want you doom scrolling because that's how they make their money, right? That's
absolutely
their business
correct.
Model. So
they want you sedentary, sitting somewhere, and I hope this brings back sports and intramurals and all kinds of fun stuff at the school, because even if you weren't a sports kid, you could do fun stuff outside.
There was something you could do for sure.
Bring back the show choir. Let's go.
There you go.
And we'll teach them how to score bowling, and we'll teach them how to score baseball, and we'll teach them how to do math, all through presidential fitness. Right. That's the way.
I think you certainly can. You can incorporate all that.
I love the
score. Craig Heinzman and Walker Wilson.
Love it.
Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Meg's up next. Stick around.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP. Golf.